If you would, turn in your Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 28. Acts chapter 28. And I want to read verse 23 and 24. Now this is the Apostle Paul. They're talking about the Apostle Paul being in Rome. And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. And some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. And they said, this is Paul. Paul has actually made it to Rome after the shipwreck and the travel and everything else. It was a long and event-filled journey. My favorite part is when Paul got bit by a snake and he suffered no harm. And the people were amazed. But now he didn't put the snake in a box and take it with him for next week. He shook it off in the fire. Because it's vermin. But after arriving in Rome, Paul called the chief of the Jews together, and he asked to speak to them. Now they said they wanted to hear. In verse 22, but we desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest. For as concerning this sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against. Boy, nothing's changed, has it?
That's right.
Nothing's changed. The truth of God and Jesus Christ has always been spoken against. It's not new. It's becoming new again now because some people are noticing it. Religion is becoming news again. I brought an item here. This is Time Magazine's annual special issue. And the big thing says, 10 ideas changing the world right now. When you go down here to the sixth one, it's the new Calvinism.
Really?
Yeah. And actually, it's not bad. When you go to the list, it's actually number 3 on the list. That's what I was reading when you called, when you called me back. Calvinism is back. I didn't know we went anywhere. But now, actually, it's a good article, believe it or not. It does get a little snarky at the end, but this is a quote talking about Calvinism. It's complete with an utterly sovereign and micromanaging deity. I kind of like that. It's a good, I normally don't like micromanagement, okay? But that's not bad. A micromanaging deity, sinful and puny humanity, and the combination's logical consequence, predestination. So it's recognized by Time Magazine as a new sect. Or actually a resurgence is what they're saying. Repopularization. The combination's logical consequence, predestination. This is still continuing the quote. The belief that before time's dawn, God decided whom he would save, in parentheses, or not, unaffected by any subsequent human action or decision. That's pretty good. That's actually not bad. But now the article ends with the conclusion of basically, let's see what happens. Because these new Calvinists are being accused of being arrogant and divisive. Well, same song, the second verse, same as the first, right? So maybe they are preaching something good somewhere else. I hope so. He goes on, it says, this Calvin's 500th birthday will be this July. Not yours, Calvin, but John Calvin. 500th birthday will be this July. It will be interesting to see whether Calvin's latest legacy will be classic Protestant backbiting, or whether during these hard times more Christians searching for security will submit their wills to the austerely demanding God of their country's infancy. Well, they realize that there is Protestant backbiting anyway. It's a good thing we're not Protestant. But that's in, it's out, I got it Thursday or Friday, I think, when Deb and I went to Kroger's. Because she'd been looking for that. She'd heard about it. This is the day we live in. Time magazine reporting on Calvinism. And they stated, and I didn't read that part, they stated that there is a division in the Southern Baptists. There always is. There always has been. But now the fellow in charge of the seminary evidently is one of the new Calvinists. Now, I don't know him. I haven't heard anything by him or anything. But my question for Time Magazine is, where have you been? You know, this isn't news. This dates back to before Calvin's time. I know it dates back long before that. Because if you want to, you can go all the way back to a couple of fellows by the name of Cain and Abel. See, Cain brought a sacrifice to God of the works of his hands. Abel brought a lamb. Abel's sacrifice was accepted. Cain's was rejected. This caused a division among them. Well, actually, it wasn't a division with Abel, it was a division with Cain. Cain got mad and killed his brother. Dead. That's a severe division. There was a difference of opinion upon Cain's part. Now, Cain was religious. He did want to bring an offering. Yep. And he did bring an offering.
Right.
But it wasn't accepted. He brought the work of his hands. He brought something he did to give to God. The problem with that, evidently, Cain didn't understand what a sacrifice was or what it's for, because it is for atonement. And the work of anyone's hands is never a proper sacrifice. The work of anyone's hands is never a proper sacrifice for sin to God. Now, I don't think that Abel just got lucky, because Abel was a keeper of sheep. We're not told this anywhere in the scriptures, but I think somewhere along the lines they had received a little instruction from Adam, from Eve, or from God himself. Abel brought a lamb. It was accepted. It was a lamb. The first picture of a lamb. The difference, Abel believed, Cain did not. Now you go forward a few thousand years. Paul's expounded and testified to those that came to him testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus. A lot of people seem to leave that word out. Both concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and the prophets. Jesus is in the law, Jesus is in the prophets. Yeah. If you don't see that, there's a problem with you, not a problem with the book. Now, I'm not saying you have to see everything, but there's some things pretty plain, like Cain offering a lamb. I mean, Abel offering a lamb, not Cain. A ram getting caught by its horns in a thicket as a substitute for Isaac. It kind of shows up here and there. But Paul expounded, testified from morning to evening. That's a long time. We're told what happened. Some believed, and some did not. Paul preached all day long. And they sat there. Maybe they took a break for lunch. We don't know. But he preached all day. Some believed and some did not. He preached to the chief of the Jews. These were people who had a knowledge of the law of Moses. People who had a knowledge of the prophets. Some believed. Some did not. He preached the atonement. The blood of Jesus Christ was shed for people. Some believe, some did not. I believe he preached the Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the one who was to come, and the Redeemer who has saved his people from their sins. Some believe, some did not. He preached Emmanuel, God with us, expounded unto them Jesus. Christ was here on this earth. Jesus Christ was God, is God, and ever shall be God, and is seated on the right hand of the Father right now. Some believe, some didn't. He preached Jesus Christ out of the Old Testament scriptures. There's no way to preach on the kingdom of God without speaking of Christ. There's no way. And I believe, this is just my personal opinion, that Paul was a competent sower. I've read his writings. Paul knew what he was talking about. Paul knew who he was talking about. Read the book that he wrote to the Romans. In Romans 3, beginning in verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. I go right to Romans 7. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all. He don't stop there, though. Them that believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then it is excluded? By what law of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Without the deeds of the law. Now I don't know if Paul expressly stated that to those fellows, but I think they got the gist of it. I think they knew what he was talking about. There is no redemption in the law. There is a righteousness of God without the law, written in the law and the prophets. The righteousness of God is by faith of Jesus Christ. Of Jesus Christ. That's where it comes from. That's where it comes from. That's what it is. This righteousness of God is unto all and upon all that believe. And believers are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. Christ Jesus. God has set forth Christ. He is the propitiation. Earl used to call it the mercy seat. That's what it translates to. I did look it up in the dictionary one time. Propitiation, according to Webster's now, is a third person, which is pretty good, a third person who is the reconciler between two people who are at odds. That's what it means. Christ is our reconciliation. Be ye reconciled to God. The mercy seat. God is the one who is just and justifier of those that believe in Jesus. Everything comes back to faith and believing. Boasting is excluded by the law of faith. Well, what's the law of faith? Here's part of it. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Paul wrote that, I think. Believing is necessary. Faith is necessary for believing. Without faith, it is impossible. With faith, all things are possible. Actually, with God, all things are possible. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek. That's Romans 1:16. The gospel, I've used this verse to talk to people with, a friend of mine, to show him that the gospel is not the power of God to everybody. Right. Right, it's not. That's what people think. The gospel is the power of God to everyone that believeth. Right. It is. To the Jews, the religious, is a stumbling block.
Right.
To the Greeks, the secular, is foolishness. To Time Magazine, is foolishness. Those poor, pitiful people. Maybe these hard times, people turn to God.
Yeah.
See, they don't know no better. Trust me, I've had people look at me like that. Yes, you want to pat me on the head and say, you just go on. And I think, that's right, I'm going on. I ain't stopping, not for you yahoos. You can read Time Magazine if you want to. I got no problem with it. 2 Thessalonians 3 and 2 says, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not faith. Now, you can go to any regular old First Baptist church on the corner of any street in America right now, and I'll tell you right now that what they'll preach is God has dealt every man the measure of faith, which is true if you realize who he's talking to. Paul states it conclusively here. For all men have not faith.
Right.
All men have not faith. That means that all men don't have faith. People don't get it. Well, you've got faith. Everybody's got faith. You just got to believe. And that's why you come to the front, to the humping the floor there, the what they call the altar, and you pray the sinner's prayer. Because, see, everybody's got faith. You just got to believe. Mm-hmm. You take the first step, God will meet you there. Mm-hmm. And I do like what Henry Mahan said about that. If I can take the first step, I don't need God. The first step's to come out of the grave. That's the first step,
right,
to not be dead.
Right.
If I can do that, I'm in pretty good shape. Because I'm not dead anymore. But I can't do that. You can't do that. And neither can them idiot preachers up in pulpits saying that.
Right.
Unreasonable and wicked men. And Baptist preachers. And with the secular, at best, they're going to think you're pretty much a harmless lunatic.
Mm-hmm. At best.
At best. At worst, they might turn on you and you get rended.
Yeah.
Hebrews 4 and 2 says, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them,
mm-hmm,
not being mixed with faith,
yeah,
in them that heard it. This goes to the heart of what Luke wrote in the book of Acts.
Right.
Paul preached to these men. Some believed, some didn't. Why? I don't know. Yeah, we do. For some, the seed Paul sowed was not mixed with faith in them that heard it. The words he preached was not mixed with faith in them already.
Right.
The words he preached didn't put that faith in them.
No, it doesn't.
God wasn't waiting for them to get there so he could put that faith there. Which is what some people say. For others, the seed that Paul sowed was mixed with faith,
right,
that was in them when they heard it. And I'm going to tell you something, that's true of every true convert.
Right.
They will hear the truth of Jesus Christ. They will hear, well, talk about Tim James, the gospel of their salvation.
Right.
When you heard the gospel of your salvation, that's what it is. And when you heard it, it's because there was already faith in you.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. That's right.
And it was your salvation already taking place.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it was good news. It was a gospel.
Yeah. Yeah.
They'll hear the gospel of their salvation, and they will believe him. Christ Jesus. Paul expounded and testified. Some believed, some didn't. Then he, after, when they agreed not, I like that, among themselves, they departed. This is continuing on Acts 28, verse 25. When they agreed not amongst themselves. And I swear to God, it's almost like, and there was no small disputation among them. That's a big fight. When they agreed not among themselves, they departed. After that, Paul had spoken one word. Yeah. Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah, the prophet, unto our fathers, saying, go unto this people and say, hearing, ye shall hear, and shall not understand. And seeing, ye shall see, and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. You know what? That's according to the prophets too.
Right. Yeah.
And I thank God for it, because that's why we're here. And we had said these things, the Jews departed, and had great reasoning among themselves. I don't know, I meant to look up the Greek for reasoning. I'm wondering if it's arguments. I got a feeling there were some words. And Paul dwelt two whole years in his own hired house and received all that came unto him. Paul would talk to anybody about Christ, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, and no man forbidding him. But he had preached to these people. Some believed and some didn't. What's the difference? All men have not faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. And the word preached will not profit those without faith. And that is a fact. Not a supposition. It's written plainly. Black and white. In my Bible, underlined in red. Because that's what color pen I use. It's all throughout the New Testament. The difference can't be in the preacher. Same guy was talking to the whole bunch. The difference can't be in the message. Same message. From the same guy at the same time. The difference can't be in the law of Moses or the prophets. Because the scriptures are always the same. Paul asked one time, who maketh thee to differ?
Yeah.
What have ye that ye have not received? Mm-hmm. What do you got that other people don't got? Bad English, but it works. Most churches don't have an answer for that. I don't know if you remember this, Walter. I do remember this statement by a fellow by the name of Peter Ruckman. He was at a service, and this was the answer to what he said. Somebody was up there preaching, and he said, well, you know. And I was sitting there listening, and I heard the gospel of Christ. He said, and you know what? I'm not too dumb to know a good thing when I hear it. That's a testimony, brother. That's sarcasm, okay? Because that's the answer they have. Evidently, if you don't come, because faith is in everybody, That's why some people get a little self-righteous. Because you're a dummy. You didn't believe like I believed.
Right.
You heard the same message. I believed it. I don't want to go to hell. I want to see mama again or something. Whatever. Paul asks, who maketh thee to differ? Well, you knew I'd get here eventually, right? For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. It's Ephesians 2 and 8. God makes a difference. No one and nothing else. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. And some believe the things which were spoken, and some believe not. This is what we do. We gather together. We try to preach Jesus Christ. And some believe, and some don't. It's what we do. This is all we do. Because really, everything else is just added on. I come here to hear Christ preached.
Yeah.
That fellow over there. You better be a good one this morning, Walter. But you do it, and you do it, and some believe, and some don't. Even in this little group, we've seen people walk out.
Mm-hmm.
Never to darken our door again, and that's what it was. They were darkening the door. So that's why that was okay. That's why we shut it after they left. It's okay. I mean, I don't want anybody to remove themselves from here, but if that's the way you feel about it, please do.
Right.
When Christ told them, will ye also go away? Some believed and some didn't. And the question is, which one are you with?
Yeah.
Those that believe or those that didn't? Do you believe him? Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful again today. Lord, we ask for your blessings this day and every day. But Lord, we do ask for a special blessing upon Walter as he comes to preach here before us, to give us the words we need to hear. And please apply them to our hearts that we might understand and see and learn of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we ask this. Amen.